Our gospel today comes from the book of Matthew. After John the Baptist is murdered, Jesus desires a time of solitude. Still, his compassion for others will not allow him to dismiss those who need him, and he is moved to perform one of his greatest miracles. Our gospel this morning comes from the 14th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, beginning with the 13th verse. Now when Jesus heard about John's death, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowd away, so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled, and they looked up, and they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. This is the word of the Lord. Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and risen Savior Jesus the Christ. This week, I was blessed with a few days away at a deserted place. Jan and I found a rental cabin beside a slough north of Medina. And let me be really clear, it was not a lake. It was not a place for canoes or kayaks or boats. It was not a place for fishing. There was not a sandy beach. Thanks be to God, or other people would have been there. It was a humble prairie slough that I got to experience with a few wild ducks and mud hens. And it was glorious. It was a time of continuing education to read, to think, and pray. For a farm kid who is allergic to crowds, this was the perfect venue. The added bonus of this place is that it is just a stone's throw from a farmyard. As a matter of fact, you have to drive through the farmyard to get to this cabin. And so, besides Jan and I, there were a couple of guinea hens that would come through, a flock of chickens that found their way chasing grasshoppers, a black and white cat that jumped in a chair beside me. And I got to tell you, I love that cat. I'm not a cat person, but this is obviously an outdoor cat. It knew its place. I loved it. It was just a wonderful time to be away. Today's gospel begins with Jesus withdrawing to a deserted place. His desire was to get away. He is pushed towards solitude by the news that his cousin, John the Baptist, is dead. Murdered for the whim of the king of the time, Herod, who says to a young dancing girl that he will give her whatever she wants. And this young girl's manipulative mother, you will remember, wanted John the Baptist's head on a platter. And so just like that, John is dead. Beheaded. In the face of such news, even Jesus, the Savior of the world, takes time away. Maybe in part because he understands that this foreshadows what is going to happen to him as well. The text doesn't tell us what he hoped to be thinking about, what he was trying to sort out. It doesn't share with us the words of his prayers at that moment or what was on his heart. For me, it's enough to know that he is moved by the death of his cousin to try to find some time away, a place to think and pray, to ponder. But he doesn't get a chance to. He sets off by boat to this deserted place, and the crowds hear of it. And they leave by foot. They meet him as he comes ashore, and on seeing this crowd, he does what you would expect the Savior of the world to do. He begins to heal them. You see, Jesus really sees them as who they are, sees them in their true spirit, in their need, in their brokenness. And he stops and he heals. Now, this story that we've heard again and again and again may have lost its luster for you. It's become so familiar that you know every turn. But I invite you today to just sit back, to imagine what it must have been like for one of those people who were there present with Jesus, one of those people who had walked who knows how long to get to this spot before he got there. One of those people that were hoping that day that their encounter with him would change their very life. Imagine what it must have been like to watch him heal and heal and heal and to see the crowd continue to just come and grow all day long. And as the day gets long, you get to stand back and watch him take 5 loaves and 2 fish. Now, if you are a skeptic, like some of us can be sometimes, you might see the 5 fish or the 5 loaves and the 2 fish sitting there and thinking, well, that's not going far. But he has them sit and he blesses it and he has the disciples take it out, and the text tells us that not only are they fed a scrap, they get enough. They're filled. And the baskets come and it gathers it together, and there are 12 baskets filled. I think that we would be awestruck had we been there that day. 5,000 men fed, not counting the women and children, and 12 baskets left over. I am awestruck by this God who sends his Son into the world to heal and feed and care for people just like us. And what strikes me at the depth of my heart is this: I know who I am. I know what I have done and left undone. I know the dark recesses of my heart that I don't share with anyone. And yet this one feeds and heals, and we know the end of the story. He will die and rise for us, not because we're worthy of it, but because God is God, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. You see, God has this incredible desire to draw us near, and what he wants to offer us is the unthinkable. In Isaiah 55, there is this incredible vision of a banquet that will be thrown, a banquet of the finest foods, the best, of rich wine, the best, a pure gift, undeserved, and yet it's offered to us. The gift of being away these few days has been the ability for my brain to run free range, just like the red Angus cattle to the east of the cabin. To wander and remember the contours of life, all the ways that God's Holy Spirit has entered in to feed and nourish throughout all of these years. Part of the problem in our world today is there's not enough space to allow our brains to run free range, to just be. Calendars are filled with appointments and activities, a list of things to do, and time to just be is at a premium. A place to pray, a time to ponder, to allow the gospel stories to come alive in our imagination so that we might get swept up and carried away by God's grace. So where are your places away? Who has tried to model for you that which is life-giving? One of the patriarchs of this congregation was one of those people for me. As a kid, a camper at Camp of the Cross, I can remember a week when Pastor Nick was the pastor of the week at the camp. I was probably in elementary school. We had to be down at the cabin where we were fed early in the morning. We didn't get to go inside that morning, those mornings though, right away. Instead, he stood and handed each of us a small scrap of paper that had a Bible verse on it, and we were invited to go sit somewhere along the lake and ponder. For an elementary kid, it felt like we were there for 3 hours. I'm sure he probably gave us 2 or 3 minutes to sit and ponder the text and then come. Bishop Craig Schweitzer, when he was Pastor Craig Schweitzer, I remember him talking about the Double Ditch Indian Village. How it is the place for him to go away, to just sit, often in the midst of the week, along the Missouri River, to pray and ponder and watch the beauty of that spot. What about you? Can you carve out a bit of time to allow the gospel to take root in you? To imagine the work that Jesus did long, long ago and the work that he is doing in the midst of your life now. The grace that he desires to take root. The blessing, the love, and the mercy. May you find a deserted place so that God can be God of your life. Thanks be to God. Amen.